Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey guys, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It is our last week talking about fascism within the sci-fi fantasy series. And this week we're doing Hunger Games. So literally this week, this past weekend, we depressed ourselves by watching the Hunger Games series again.
All four movies.
Yes, all four movies. Pretty depressing.
Did they start, like, they're one of the first ones to do that, part one, part two. Or was it Harry Potter?
Oh, Harry Potter started that.
Yeah.
That was right around that time of the part one, part twos.
Harry Potter, starting problems.
They loved it.
Because, yeah, then you're sitting there for a year.
Wondering
what the heck happens next.
I mean, they made us wait a long time for Endgame, which is technically, I would argue, a part two of Infinity War.
Exactly. So. That just became it. Now it's a thing. It's just a thing now. And I mean, now, you know, Disney always has to one up everybody. So now they're doing series and they leave us on cliffhangers every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like constant torture.
Yeah. Wanda, where are you? Did you find your kids? Like, what's happening right now?
What's going on?
Like, I'm worried right now.
An update, please.
Like an update. I'm worried.
Just tweet something. Just let us know.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then we will come back and start discussing Hunger Games.
All right, welcome back.
Yes, so Shalom kind of had a good outline for this movie and like taking us through. Because the cool thing about Hunger Games is like we get to actually see a fascist system in place and kind of that like how
it works, kind of,
how it works, and then as well as like the downfall of it and like what brings the people together. Let you kick it off.
Well, I think we're gonna in this episode we're gonna discuss the tools of fascism, right? And then when we discuss those tools, you'll see why they fail as well. Like, what leads to the failure of the system? And a lot of times, fascist systems can last for a long time. And then also, I kind of want to discuss, like, the spectrum of fascism in different aspects of life, right? So we'll discuss fascism for particular groups of people. Some people can be living in a... or rather can be experiencing the brunt of fascism. And some people are not. Like you see in Hunger Games, you've got the guys in District, you know, 2, 3, closer to 1, were more, had more loyalty to District 1. Because they're not really getting hit by the fascist system that Snow is leading. And so that's something that's important to discuss. To say, hey, like how do we even identify that? Like that, hey, like, we're living in a fascist system. Because I think if one group is living in fascism, everybody's living in it.
Yeah.
Not just because you're not experiencing it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Sometimes, you know, one group is experiencing it. And the moment you become a problem, you're going to be experiencing it too.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a good thing to kind of discuss and even look at history a little bit, which I'm excited to do.
So do you want to start with tools?
Yeah. So tools of fascism. And one of the things you notice almost immediately is like Katniss is living her life. She's basically like she's hunting. She's learned to survive. And she's really good at hunting. She's learned to hunt, to catch her own food. And they have a system where they sell the food. They sell the food that they're catching, the meat that they're catching. And also...
technically illegal.
Even peacekeepers, because you got the peacekeepers, right? The peacekeepers are
bribed.
Like
they're bribed.
Right, they're bribed, but also they're not really peacekeepers. They are, you know, crowd control.
They're crowd control.
Army. It's the manpower, the muscle, right? They're the guys who are enforcing this fascist system, right? And so you have, like, Snow has managed to create a system that now people have to adjust to. People are not fighting it. People are not on the streets. People are not at war. You know, people are basically, they're used to it.
Yeah.
They're used to it. There's a system where if you put your name down to get picked for the Hunger Games, you get more food. Mm-hmm. You know, and well, how crazy is that? It's like, yeah, like, if you put your name down in the lottery of death.
Of death.
We feed you, you know?
I think also the concept is kind of wild. So, like, something that you kind of miss in the movies, but it's mentioned in the books. Uh-huh. It's kind of what you pointed out with the peacekeepers. So, like, you have peacekeepers who actually, like, live within the society. So, like, you have actual District 12, like, peacekeepers. And those guys are, like, chill. They're the ones who are letting, like, the legal markets happen. Like, they understand because they live there. But then you have, like, the District 1 peacekeepers who come in for the actual reaping. And, like, those guys are, like, are cruel. Like, they're cruel. And you even see them, like, when in the second Catching Fire.
Right.
In that movie. Like, that's what that dude is who, like, comes and he's, like, beating Gale. Like, he's someone from the actual, like, main peacekeeper.
He actually lives there.
Yeah. No, no. He doesn't live in District 12. He lives in, like, the main one. Like, he's from, like, District 1. Okay, like, sent to be, like...
Yeah.
To, like, really bring the law down because, like what you said, it's, like, the peacekeepers, like, they're called peacekeepers, but, like, honestly, like, they're a military force. Like, they're not.
They're an occupation slash
muscle, yeah. Like, that's not, like, they're not, point isn't to keep peace. It's actually to keep, uphold the fascist system, which the guy who was originally there, the main peacekeeper, was not upholding it to Snow's level because he felt like that was allowing a spark. Katniss was able to, like, push against the system, which is why they sent in the muscle to, like, really beat them down.
Right. Yeah, in the second movie, it's a totally different tone. Like, you have, yeah, basically, District 12 is being held hostage.
Yes.
In order to force Katniss to go around, like, with Peter, you know, basically, like, just saying, we're happily married and we are so thankful for this opportunity, you know, and... And, like, I kind of want to touch on that, like, the propaganda, you know, that that's another big tool of fascism. And I think one of the things that you see a lot, like, I got to see the propaganda that was used when Hitler took power, right? Mm-hmm. And how he managed to create an atmosphere in Germany that allowed... Or rather created the pathway for him to be able to massacre millions of Germans. Oh, sorry, millions of Jews.
Yeah.
And it's
well, they were German, so you were correct. They were German,
right. millions of Jews. And they basically, like...
They dehumanized
them. It was
easy.
Yeah, they dehumanized them. Like, in our minds, we think it was, like, constant. Like, the streets are, like, they smoke everywhere and people are just getting carried away and they're, like, truck after truck. The way it looked was more of, like, almost like normal life. It was set up like you wouldn't, obviously, it was weird. What was happening was wrong. But the propaganda was so effective, right? Was so effective that a lot of people who were German became numb to it, or rather turned a blind eye to it, or rather really not even turned a blind eye to it, but not intentionally. They were just, like, you know, told, hey, here's the narrative, and they just went with it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a lot of people do not really get, you know, to understand, is that, hey, fascism does not always mean this explosion. You don't always have, you know, Palpatine declaring, like, this will be the first galactic empire. I've always wanted to say that on this podcast. This is fun. Like, I love it. Palpatine, like, you don't always get that. Mm-hmm. It's usually, a lot of times, it's usually very, like, what's happening in China right now, you know? The way, what's happening to the... I'm sorry if I say the Uyghur Muslims, and well, it happened because I remember, like, I was on social media when activists were talking about it, and there was a few activists at that time, And they were like, millions of people are dying, guys. There is a genocide happening in China. And I remember just being like, wow, like, nobody's listening to this. Like, no one is. Mm. The big people aren't talking about it. Like, there's just so much happening in China, but no one is raising it. And now it's actually become a concern, mm-hmm. right? Where people are like, okay, what do we do about it? And
yeah.
Can you imagine then going back, like, the time from the first person who said, hey, something is happening, to now, then going like, hey, how many people died during that time? Mm. And I think that's kind of what happens. It's like, it does not feel that dramatic. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel that. That's why it happens the way that it does, you know? Mm-hmm. For the people doing it, it's and who are killing people, and the people that are being put into concentration camps, it's traumatic. It's loud. It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy how society and propaganda can be used to such an extent that it just numbs you. You know, it just numbs you. And I think that's something you see here. It's they use a lot of words like thankful, grateful.
Yes.
You know, they use like, oh, what a tragedy. That war was a tragedy. They yeah. don't even call it a war. They'll be like, yeah, the rebellion was a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they frame it is they're saying, hey, you rebelled, never do it again. We're punishing you for what you did. Each year you're going to give us people that we're mm-hmm. going to kill. We're going to murder these people, right? But we're going to use you to do it, right? To murder these people as a lesson and as a punishment forever rebelling against us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's framed in a way that, you know, when you go to District 12, which is the experience and the brand of it, and a lot of times groups that are the ones that are being directly affected, they mm-hmm. know, they're like, we're living in tough times,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then as you go towards District 1, people are feel it less and less because mm-hmm. they're not only getting hit by propaganda, and most of the propaganda happens in District 1. That's where they have the interviews. That's where they have, mm-hmm. you know, and people are gathering. That's where they have all the sponsors. That's yeah. where all of that. So all that, they have the big parade where they come across. And the way they framed it, where when they had the fire, kind of the Phoenix fire
yeah.
in the first episode. And the way the announcer was like, look, they're saying we're here.
Yeah.
We're proud and we're yeah. happy and we're this. And it's the way it's framed is so that people in District 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or maybe 4.
I think it's pretty much just 2, 3.
You know, like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, they are not concerned to the point that they're like, we need to stop this. Because if 1, 2, 3 go against Snow, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
So he needs to keep them happy, docile. And the propaganda is really getting them. And for me, I think it does represent, you know, Germans at that time when Hitler mm. was murdering Jews.
Mm-hmm.
If Germans had woken up and gone like, wow, this is messed up.
Yeah.
And spoken out. It would have been hard, but it would have made it very, very, very difficult for Hitler to keep ruling, right?
Yeah.
And the same deal with other things, like, you know, what's happening with the Uyghur Muslims in, mm-hmm. in China, and what happens with many oppressed groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I have a few thoughts coming off of what you said. Yeah. First of all, if you haven't seen Jojo Rabbit, I think that is just such an important film very to watch important, because yeah. There really were like youth mm-hmm. camps to basically indoctrinate children
yeah.
against Jewish people. And they would really sit there and just have kids brainstorm things that scare them. And then they would attribute those things to Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's real mm-hmm. like brainwashing that happens within like a fascist system. And it's like, it does start from like the mm-hmm. bottom up, and like they work on that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to relate that to the Hunger Games, they basically have separated, they literally with walls have separated these groups, like chain link mm-hmm. fences. Like
yep.
you can't travel from district to district, like
right.
unless it's authorized by District 1, then right. you can get on the train to go. But mm-hmm. like other than that, like there is, so you never know these groups
right.
outside of what you see on TV, literally.
Outside like, of murdering each other.
Yeah. And basically just murdering each other. And it's like the other thing is you touched on keeping like District 1 through 3 happy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that have the careers. Right. They're the ones where it's like people literally train for it and then they give up their life for it. Whereas the other districts are so poor that they don't have people ever
say. You mean the Hunger Games? Hunger Games for them is it's a career. It's a job.
Yeah, it's literally a career. Yeah. Whereas like for everybody else, it's like it's just something that happens in life and you just hope you don't get picked. Mm-hmm. So it's like I think even the view of the games itself is so different because like this is a four districts 1 through 3, this is a career, like you literally are trained, and it's like when you look at the first Hunger Games, like Rue gets picked. Rue's like a little girl and like Kato is like a man. know, it's like in the age is so different. I think it's the ages of 12 to 18. It's like a 12 like a 12 year old versus an 18-year-old is so different.
Very different.
Like, the age is, like, out of control. And then, like, that doesn't even go into, like, what they actually do. Like, once you are a winner and, like, a champion of the Hunger Games, like, they parade. You're still owned. Like, you're still owned by that system as propaganda. As propaganda for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And we see that in the last one, Mockingjay, where they talk about oh, my gosh, I'm blanking out his name. It starts with an F. The fishy guy who has the trident. Is it
Finnegan? I don't know.
I'm blanking on his name. Yeah. But he talks about how it was basically like seen as a commodity. Like he was sold.
Yeah.
And he decided to, like, he was going to have his own power within that system and he was going to listen to secrets. And then like now he was able to like use those secrets to expose Snow. But it's like, up until then, like, he didn't know that he would be able to ever, like, use that power. Like, he was still part of the system being used as propaganda. And if you don't, you die. Like, you die. Like, if you don't go with the system, like, you die. So it's kind of like, no matter what, just that propaganda of, like, I think even, like, bringing people back in and being like, these are your champions. Like, don't you love them? You know, it's like that propaganda of, like, see, we like this. Everybody likes this.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's definitely like pushed in people's faces. And the fact that everyone has to go to the reaping, like, that's pretty crazy, right? Like, it's a day. And it's an event.
Stand there. Your name is put in once. Everyone is put in once. And basically, like, you're waiting, just hoping that your name doesn't get called.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And like, they don't even say, like, hey, each of you guys pick one person for the... at the beginning of the year, train them for the whole year so they're ready. They just picked immediately. It's slaughter. And I think part of it is
it's slaughter.
Like, it kind of leads us to the second tool, which is division, right? So you've got propaganda, then you've got division, where it's like Snow did not want them united for anything, right? So everything he did was for the sole purpose of making sure that they're competing with each other.
Yep.
So even when they were doing the ratings, like, so, and they give each person a rating and all that.
Yes.
And that's all for the sake of dividing them.
Yeah.
To say, that person is the one that you need to kill. That person, like, creating drama and tension, you know. It's so crazy. You know, one of the things that that I learned about, like, reality TV is producers sometimes like to just stir the pot.
Oh yeah,
they know what triggers.
Yeah,
the groups that they're working with. They know, and then they'll just drop it right in there. And I think that's what the gamers and the guys who were running everything is that they know.
Yeah, the game masters.
Yeah, and which is a cool concept for a show. Like, I was like, wow, game masters is actually really cool. Concept of rather than just having the murderers or the, you know, the general, it's like game master. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, they were using all of these things to divide all the groups, make sure they never unite. They'll never, you know, there'll never be a voice, like, they were making sure that there would never be a voice that speaks for everyone. Or that ignites everyone. And I think Katniss, when she shows up and then she's like, you know, basically they use love, right? So it's like, it's like the Peter story.
Yeah.
They end up playing along with the Peter Katniss storyline. Yeah. But it was kind of natural because that's who Katniss is. She cares. Yeah. She cares for people. You know, she cares. And just all the way she just, the funeral that she does for Rue. Like, and it, she just like lays, puts flowers and just like, it was, that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, her being compassionate to someone who's not of her group. Where it wasn't even about, it wasn't even about her murdering, you know, or her taking advantage of Rue and saying, yeah, I'm going to use you. And then we're just going to like, her thing is like, no, I'm just going to care. We'll figure it out. I don't really care right
now.
I just want to be there for like for Rue right now. She needs me. And the way, and also Rue is kind of like a key character.
Yeah.
The way she takes care of Katniss. Like,
yeah.
The way, the, like, and I think compassion is something that, that fascism, fascism, like, it needs you to dehumanize everyone else. Mm-hmm. Fascism needs you, it's a system that needs you to, it needs people. It needs people. Fascism needs people, even though it's oppressing the very people that it needs. And so for it to, for that to work, it scapegoats it constantly. Like let's go back to Hitler, right? Like Hitler basically was like, hey, you know why like the war didn't work out? Jeez, do you know why you don't have a job right now? Jeez, do you know why?
You know,
and so like one of the major characteristics of fascism is the fact that it scapegoats, and it scapegoats for the sake of division. And that's how eventually you have one group that's so angry, feeling dehumanized, and they're told, hey, you're dehumanized because of this guy. If you dehumanize that person, you'll like you'll enjoy my life even more. And so like it, everyone is now caught up hating each other whilst the actual, you know, bad person, bad guy is getting away with it.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I noticed. I noticed, I saw how even that aspect can be broken down by what Katniss did and Rue.
Does, what would you say to like, so they destroyed District 13, or they think that they destroyed District 13, right? Where, like, where does that fall? Is that like, is that part of like the propaganda part? As like, or is that part of the, I guess some of his fear is like, if you do try to rise up, like, we will bomb you.
It, so it depends on who you are, right? It depends on who you are. So if you're District 1, 2, 3, it's, it's propaganda. Mm-hmm. It's heavy propaganda telling you what a tragedy. Like, what a tragedy that...
That they, that like...
bad people have infiltrated District 13 and they're lying to them. And now lives are lost. People are dead. And even when Snow just, like, bombed the heck and just attacked District 13... They would never say, like, so Snow, our Snow sent bombs to destroy. The way, if you notice, the framing was, yes, there was an aspect of, they would, like, say, we rescued you, we helped you, right? But the way they framed it is almost like, tragedy.
Mm.
What a tragedy. No one wins, guys. Nobody wins. Like how they try and use Peter, right?
Yeah.
Peter is not going, like, he's not just saying, like, guys, you know, Snow. No, he's saying, his language is, nobody wins. Everybody dies. Everybody loses.
Yeah.
Everybody loses. So it then makes you, the person who's rebelling against the fascist system, look like a really bad person.
Yeah.
And then so when Snow destroys you, right, it's a tragedy. Right? They would say, guys, a tragedy just happened.
It's actually rather abusive. Than it's actually abuser language. It's it's you're making me do this.
Exactly.
Look what you're making me do. Instead of it being like, no, you're be accountable for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no need to be like, to be pointing fingers here. Like, you're doing bad things,
right,
and then I'm rebelling because of your bad things. You're not. It's not the other way around.
And almost to and to wrap it up, you then add, this happened to us. This happened to us because you did this. So you're saying, wow, we're both victims of this. This situation, we're just victims. Because now you're completely eradicating any debate on whose fault it is. Mm-hmm. You're whilst at the same time blaming another person and saying, yeah, they were lied to.
Yeah.
They were lied to. They were told that they could. Then, so it was this. It's so dark how it happened. And that's something. It is kind of funny seeing the guy from Hydra. What is his name?
That one actor.
I was like, oh my gosh, like so appropriate. He's so good. He's so good at just like that. Like, you know, like, he's awesome. But like, propaganda is very done well. It almost sometimes, even District 1 to 3, a lot of times there are people that know. They know they're being lied to. It's just like in V for Vendetta, people know that they're being lied to, but because the lies is done in a certain way, it's almost, for someone who's not really affected by what's going on,
yeah,
it's almost comical. So when you see your country attacking another country and they say, hey, we're attacking that person because they did something bad, when you're like, I doubt that person did something bad, but the propaganda is so aggressive, it's so there, you don't even have a starting point to push back against it, you know, unless you fully commit to say, hey, I'm going to be an activist and I'm going to speak out against it. And there are people that have done that, like we're in situations where when you look in America, you know, in during the time when America was in Vietnam, mm-hmm. right? There was a lot of protests against that. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes to stop. To like what it would have taken, you know, before Katniss, that's what it would have taken to stop the
capital
with Hunger Games. But the fact that even District 1-3 was being told tragedy. They can't then just start doing a blaming game. But
they're the most influential, so they're the ones who would have to protest,
right? Because imagine if you're from District 1 or 2 or 3. And you say, no, you're attacking these people. It'll be so easy for Snow to be like, I can't believe you're falling for this. I can't believe that you're falling for the lies that these guys have fallen for. So when the cops show up to carry you away, it's so easy to have like a switch that they just go, tragedy.
Well, and they do, like they actually do reference that anyone in District 1 mm-hmm. who is like naughty like that, like mm-hmm. that's how you become the ones who like they cut the tongues out,
right?
Like they literally cut your tongue out,
right?
Or you have to be sneaky like Cinna or mm-hmm. like someone else, and you're probably gonna die, honestly. You're probably gonna die mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. because they're just not playing fair.
Yeah,
like if you do speak up and you do protest, which I think just keeps people from doing it, because I think it's easy to sit there and be like, I'd put my life on the line. But, like, would you really? Like, it's scary.
Would you?
Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to, like, a few, like, Black Lives Matter protests mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's scary to be there.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, you're like, anything could happen.
Like, I don't know if someone's going to drive by and, like, try to shoot into the crowd or something. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's definitely...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just like something to think about. Like,
yeah. And I think that kind of takes us into the third thing. The last thing that I have on my mind is it's fear, right? So there's just straight up fear. Mm-hmm. You know? So we said propaganda, mm-hmm. right? And then we said division, mm-hmm. right? And then we said, I think we've already touched on the peacekeepers, right?
Yeah.
The peacekeepers are already there. But yeah, like if you're somebody who is a rebel now and you're like straight up, you know, I mean, District 13 got bombed. Mm-hmm. District 12 got destroyed. It's crazy mm-hmm. seeing all those bodies. When Katniss steps out of
I was about to say so the Queen Jet.
I'm stuck on Marvel. When she gets out of the plane and then she sees all those like burnt like skeletons.
Like it's just bodies. Like they just bomb the people. And civilians
in a hospital, you know. Uh-huh. And that's what Katniss becomes the counter, right? So they are causing fear. Like, so Katniss is not speaking to District 1, 2, and 3. I mean, she kind of is trying to, even like over time as she moves inwards, right? But Katniss is speaking to the people that are afraid, right? The people that are seeing, because I think what happens is when you're afraid, when you're someone who's living in a fascist system, like I lived in a dictatorship growing up, it became a dictatorship as I got older. Your mind renegotiates for your survival, right? Mm-hmm. It renegotiates. You create new terms and conditions for your life.
Yep.
So you're saying, okay, for me to survive, I need to be quiet. I need to be respectful to authorities. Mm-hmm. I need to give whatever is required of you. And then in return, the authorities will do A, B, C, D, right? Mm-hmm. And then you put trust in your authorities to keep that promise, to not change that playing ground. You're like, I've submitted, I'm down for it because I'm scared. But I'm trusting this person to do the right thing, I'm trusting Snow to do the right thing. And I remember what Katniss said. She said, listen, they will never leave you alone. Mm-hmm. If you think, there's a way she frames it. If you think that Snow is here to help you, if you think, because sometimes you're so stuck in a fascist system to the point that you almost have this weird belief in your overlord that he actually will do something benevolent, like will just give you something, you know, like, I don't know, it's a weird faith, right? Because there are times when I saw, you know, fellow Zimbabweans think that way, you know, where they're like, no, Mugabe will do the right thing here. Look at this, look at that, he'll do the right thing. Like, there's a whole lot of us sometimes who will be like, are you crazy? Like, he'll never do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You will never do, unless he's being forced to, and that force comes from the people, right? And so he will never do the right thing. And Katniss is trying to convince, you know, President Coin is pushing her to do it, like using also propaganda to speak to people, to say, guys, first of all, guys, you have no choice, right? She's trying to stir bold anger in people, right? Removing the docileness that sometimes propaganda, sometimes you end up just being, even if you're feeling the brunt of it, you end up just almost just, like, you know, that's the abusive relationship, right? You're like, you're like, if I am a good girlfriend or whatever, like he won't beat me. Like, and there's almost like a weird piece, right? Like Hydra says, what? It says compliance will be rewarded, right? You start living for the reward.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, it's a sick situation. It's sick and it's bad. And that's something that they're trying to snap people out of it and say, hey guys, no. Don't wait for Snow to do the right thing. Don't wait for Snow. Like, actually, look at all these bodies. Look at all these bodies. Like, all these bodies have been burnt. Don't submit to him. Like, you guys need to join us. And I think Katniss did that effectively. She was able to stir them up. And also, Snow, fascism a lot of times overplays its hand. And I think when you see fascism overplaying its hand a bit, like where they, you know, it becomes even more cruel and reckless and so forth, eventually you see that, like, people, you know, Mussolini, right, was toppled by his own people, right? They were like, ish.
Yeah, he went too far.
Like, ish, dude, okay, you know. Because you just reach a point where you go too far. And because sometimes what happens is that, yeah, they overplay their hand. And I think, you know, propaganda can be used for the right thing, where you're showing, you're saying, hey, look at what this guy is doing. We are going to the Capitol. You know, he says, don't turn your weapons, Katniss says, don't turn your weapons towards us. Turn them towards the Capitol. And as she's showing them what Snow did, and over time, people get convinced. Over time, they're gaining more and more support, and they're getting closer. It does get harder as we get closer to District 1.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, part of the propaganda in those areas is actually much stronger. Because they're the ones who are, who kind of have some sort of power. Like, you know, you don't want those guys to revolt. You know, you, maybe one or two can revolt and you like what you said, like you cut out their tongue or kill them, whatever.
Yeah.
But if District 3, 2, or 1 all together revolted, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's why the propaganda is more intense there. Katniss definitely has a harder job convincing people from there to not be loyalists and to support her. Yeah.
I think something else that I found really interesting about this series, and like, I remember originally reading it and being like, this is such a depressing ending. So basically they have a fascist system, and then the person who's coming in to save them from a fascist system falls into the trap of fascism again.
Right. Right.
Like, are you kidding me? And then it's like, but I actually think that that's pretty realistic, because it, once you're in those like cycles of like dictatorship and like fascism, like, it really is difficult to get out of that and then have like an actual free election. Like, democracy is difficult.
Very.
Like, it's actually really hard.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's not the fastest. It's not the easiest. It's not the simplest solution. Yeah. Like, it, there's a lot. Negotiating with people is difficult. Hearing all opinions is difficult. Moving forwards with decisions is difficult. Like, it's hard, you know. It's hard. Like, it's easier just to be a dictator and be like, this is what's happening. Just doing it. So, you know, I think originally I was really depressed with the ending. I was like, this is so sad. And then Katniss and Peter are just like scarred for life, and that's it. Like, that's how it ends. But like, I'm kind of proud of her for writing a realistic ending.
Right, right. And to be honest, I think Katniss was realistic in also killing Coin.
Yeah.
Right? She was, that was a really realistic choice. It wasn't and I think it's a statement. It's a statement. I mean, we can't go around murdering people. That's wrong. But it does speak a lot to sometimes the two, like, and I like how she's called Coin, right? You know, this statement, there are two sides to every coin. Really, for me, you know, comes to mind in that fascism does not always look, I think it has two faces in my mind. There's the more like harsh face, right? Which is very like, and I mean harsh as in like, you look at the person, you're like, come on, nah, that's a fascist. Like, even the way they talk, that's a fascist. They're kind of reckless with their words. They kind of yell a bit. They kind of, they don't really, they can use propaganda, but they're just so, so like heartless about what they do, right? And then you have, you know, the other side of it, which is very, they're much more subtle in how they run a fascist system. Because really, at the heart of fascism is power and money, right? These guys know how to get there without necessarily, they make a lot of promises. It's a false democracy, right?
Yeah. You know, which is what she was going for.
Right, a false democracy. Because she's going like, okay, no more Hunger Games for everybody. It's only two. Three districts. We're only doing three districts, people. We're nobody else, right? In fact, they train people, so we'll just like, and she was gonna find a way to sell it, right? It like she was going to find, and she was going to take the anger of people, right? The people, and ride that wave. And she even declares herself the new
leader.
Like, leader of Panem.
Because apparently they couldn't switch to democracy right away.
And
everyone's just, too weak.
She just says when they're ready.
Yeah.
And she's the one who determines when they're ready.
Yeah.
And that's just something that it was like, clearly you're moving into fascism. You just like have a nicer way of saying things. You just you lost a political battle, right? Mm-hmm. So then you went to the poor and you used the poor to get yourself to a place of power. And then you're going to turn around, right? And say, we're going to punish the rich. We're going to punish them. But eventually you're just going to get back to snow, right? You're going to get back.
Yeah.
Like you hear sort of like Idi Amin, like all these stories. There's so many stories, so many crazy stories of dictators, guys who took over, like coup d'etats that happened where people were saying, oh my gosh, this president is bad. And then the guy who took over was like, I am a man. And usually that's what they do. They're standing on top of tanks. They're dancing with the people and they become 10 times worse than the person who was there before. Mm. And that usually is what people need to be careful of, is the person who comes and says, I'm here to help you. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to like make everything equal. Those people are dangerous. And I think I don't really have a solution as to like, how do we identify those things? And I think when you look at politics, I think being very cautious of and realizing that even in America, right, in mm-hmm. the American context, both parties have contributed to where we are today. Mm-hmm. Both parties have contributed. It would be a lie if we said, oh, one party is in charge. Oh, yeah. One party is definitely nuts right now. Like, they are losing it, right? They don't want things to change because they don't have the capacity to even accept the changes, to accept the equality, to accept everything. The other party is saying, we're accepting the equality because it benefits them.
It benefits right? them. It's yeah.
The Lincoln story. Yeah, but Lincoln. Lincoln literally said that if he could keep the country united without freeing the slaves, he would have done it.
Yeah.
He would have done it.
Yeah.
And he was basically pushed to actually free the slaves as a tactic for his military, mm-hmm. to strengthen his military. And so that those are some of the things that like sometimes like people say, oh no, we're the body of Lincoln because he freed the slaves. Like, no guys, he slaves were not even in the war initially. They weren't even fighting. If the intention was, hey, we want to free you guys, they would have said like, hey guys, freedom for you guys. We're gonna give you weapons. Let's rock up to these dudes and let's free you guys. Let's free your guys in the South and let's make it happen. But he did not do that. He did not do that. So it's something that is so important to think about, to be like, no, yes, like a coin has two sides. It has two sides. And fascism, a lot of times, does have two sides. Be mm-hmm. careful of the person, the politician that shows up and says, this is unfair and just. And if the person who is a politician and then they want to like they're seeing that the people are rising up and then they try and like Loki, like when the guy's like, hey man, we're getting on this plane and we're gonna like start a revolution. And then he just goes like, you look like you're in need of leadership. That's fascism. That's fascism. You know, because it's that person who sees people, who uses the masses, the people, you know, the like who want good things for themselves, and then uses that to get himself to a place of ultimate power, and then turns around and just destroys the very thing that people are fighting for.
Mm. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I
think we hit it. Yeah, Hunger hit Games, it. Everyone.
Hunger Games.
That's it.
Woo!
So we are done talking about fascism.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to take a 2-week break. So we will be back on, I should look at the date. But we are coming back with Male Gaze, which I'm like really excited for. As just a feminist in general, I just love talking about feminist topics. So I'm into it. I'm excited.
Yes.
So we're coming back May 13th.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing Birds of Prey, which I've been dying to do.
Yeah.
We're going to do Captain Marvel and we're going to do Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited to come back and just look through
really
those
good movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, surprisingly, Birds of Prey is not my favorite movie, but I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's so interesting. It's like sometimes like when you're thinking about a topic or within a topic, like I think something's really good and then it makes me want to watch it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not a huge I feel like I'm like gonna really out myself right now. I'm not a huge Harley Quinn fan. Like, she's a little wild for me.
New
like
character, uh-huh.
Yeah, as a character, she's like a lot. I think she's like a lot.
She has a hyena because we technically have a hyena in the house.
Yeah, our little dog is definitely a hyena. So I like Harley Quinn. She's okay. She's okay. She's not my favorite. I think I am like a superhero person. Like, I'm more of like a superhero versus like that like interesting villain. Like, even Loki, I'm a little bit like, I like Loki, but he's not my favorite. Because like I'm not like into the villain story thing. Like, that's not my thing. But I really do enjoy that movie. So I'm excited for it. Captain Marvel, one of my all-time favorite superheroes. So like, excited for that. Wonder Woman, great. The first one, not 1984. We're not doing that one. No.
No. No.
But yeah, so I'm excited to come back in a couple weeks with a new topic.
I cannot wait. So thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you in a few weeks.